Gospel of John is odd in any number of ways. It almost wasn't admitted to the canon because it was so different. The picture of Jesus that it made was so radically different from the picture that we get in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's also the latest Gospel written, probably around the end of the first century. Scholars differ between the year 90 and as late as 110 or 115 before our era. And this is crucial to understanding what whoever it was who wrote this thing, and a bunch of people wrote it because we see over and over, it's been re-edited a number of times, that the crucial line in this whole little famous scene with Thomas is this, what scholars call this beatitude, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. So by this time, of course, all of the disciples were long dead when this was written. And so how do people come to join this Jesus movement? By being preached to. But more than that, of course, by seeing the lives of the people who did join this Jesus movement. Because as one theologian has put it, only love is believable, and you can't just talk about love, you do it. So that's, by scholarly consensus, pretty much the whole point of this little passage. But there's a bunch of other things as usual going on in John. John's the only gospel that has this scene, first of all. And John's the only one who has Jesus complaining in the third chapter of the gospel about people who join him because they're just stuck by religious spectacle. Big into religious glitch. Everybody loves that stuff. You know, like religious bungee jumping. You're like, oh my God, what's that? And that and that's part of what is implied by this remark that those are blessed who have not seen anything of Jesus but have come to believe. But there's something more important, I think, even than that going on here. I have to back up a little bit. One of the biggest problems, at least when I was growing up in the Roman Church, is that the life of Jesus was radically separate from the death of Jesus. Everybody looked at the death of Jesus and said, woo, 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 this is amazing. And meanwhile, the prior 30, 35 years before that event were kind of ignored. There was this massive disconnection between Jesus getting killed and Jesus living as he did. So we have in John what we have all through the resurrection appearances, which are notoriously difficult to correlate, by the way. You have the mark of Jesus' death on him. The risen Jesus is the Jesus with holes in his hand and his feet and his side. And only that is the risen Jesus. And what that means, of course, is not only that this guy who was executed by the Jews' great enemy, the Romans, is the Messiah, but that all that invokes, of course, Jesus' whole life. Especially what? Those things that were most socially obnoxious about this man. That he paid so much attention to the left out in the society. That all the people who everybody else was just as in disregard, or certainly ignore, were the ones to whom he was particularly attentive. And see, that's where we need to be very careful with this business of the death of Jesus, because if the death of Jesus is inexplicable or becomes some kind of magical thing, until we see it as a kind of logical consequence of a death inflicted on him by society that was simply found his behavior intolerable, disruptive. Who cares about the poor? Yet there's no question that Jesus privileged the poor. Who cares about all the invisible people? I mean, we got all kinds of invisible people today, too. How many of us know how many homeless people there are in London, Ontario? How many know how many refugees there are in the world? These people that we don't see, they're totally not even on the periphery of our consciousness, I don't think. But this is what Jesus, with these wounds in his hand and his side, I mean, this is the risen Jesus. And only that is the risen Jesus. The Jesus who died because of this behavior, this outrageous behavior, socially unacceptable behavior. So we need to be really careful when we celebrate Easter. We're celebrating not just the climax of a life, but the climax of a life. That if it all comes to a head, this bleeding corpse. But then God raises from the dead. Because it's only because of that life that God raised Jesus from the dead. So when we say what we come to believe, we have to be really careful that we're not believing in some great magic show. We're believing in a life that certainly subjects mine to real criticism if I attempt it. But a life which says that all of us are interdependent. All of us are interdependent.